Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let me read a verse from Psalm. Excuse me, Psalm chapter 5, verse number 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. I pray that we will have that same prayer as David. Ask the Lord to bless this gathering this morning. Our most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we do pray that you be with us this day. Send your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us hearing ears and an understanding heart. Make us to see you in everything that's said. Be with our brother this morning as he proclaims thy true gospel. Give him the words to make it plain that we will understand. Thank you, Lord, for thy wonderful mercies toward us. Pray that you'll continue to shed them upon us, all of the benefits that you give. Lord, we know that it is all from you. Make us every day, in every instant, to give thee thanks. Pray for a pastor, Lord, as he's traveling. Give he and Mindy traveling mercies. Give them comfort in this time. Lord, forgive us of our sins. In the holy name we pray. Amen. Our pastor is in Louisiana this morning attending a funeral, a family member. And in his absence, we have with us Brother Walter Pendleton from Sovereign Grace Chapel. At Beaver or Crow, West Virginia. Walter's been here many times. He's a dear friend of this church. I'm sure that, just like myself, you're all going to be very pleased with what he has to say.
Walter, thank you, Father. Thank you again for coming. I'm always glad to be here. Good morning, everyone. For our Bible lesson this morning, be turning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. For our lesson, I will just read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1, and then we will try to examine these verses and see the glory of God manifest in the face of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Of course, the truth then continues here, but we'll stop and deal with just these three verses this morning. My subject for this lesson is this: God the Son has spoken. Now that's very important, because this is how the writer begins here. God the Son hath spoken. I point out, it does not say in this text that God the Son is speaking. He says he hath spoken. So anyway, concerning verse 1, here are some clear declarations. So again, the first part of verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. First thing, the prophets spoke at sundry times. What the prophets spoke was absolute truth, but it was piecemeal. A little here, a little there. And it was often on various occasions. Early on, God's people were aware of one another, but they did not gather as we gather today on a regular basis. Okay? So the prophets spoke at sundry times. That simply means they spoke absolute truth, but they spoke piecemeal at times, at varying times. Then it goes on and says the prophets spoke in divers manners. This means that God's methods varied. And let me be clear when I say that. God's methods varied. That is, there was times when God spoke directly to certain individuals and told those individuals what to tell other individuals. Then, as time went on, of course, then Moses came on the scene. The scriptures began to be written. And then they began to be, over the years, compiled. Book with another book, and book with another book. So, we see the writer says the prophets spoke at sundry times and in divers manners. The Old Testament scriptures are very direct, but they also have shadows and types and symbols. Things that only by divine revelation could a man and woman understand what they meant, especially when the gospel was as but a seed, as it were, when there was very little, if any, written word of God. So again, the prophets spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners. Here's the third thing. When the prophets spoke, though they spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners, yet when the prophets spoke, God was speaking by them. Let us never forget that. The Old Testament scriptures are not inferior to the New Testament scriptures. The prophets and their message is not inferior to the apostles and their message, because the message was always the same person, Jesus Christ the Lord. So when the prophets spoke, God was speaking by them. You remember the account our Lord gave of it, of the rich man who died. And it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. And one thing the rich man asked Father Abraham was, send someone back to tell my brothers, to warn them that they not come to this place. And Father Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So never think that the book of Hebrews is pushing the Old Testament scriptures to the side. When the prophets spoke, God was speaking by them. Here's the fourth thing concerning verse 1. That way of speaking is past. Okay? That way of speaking is past. If any man, sadly nowadays we could even say women, because that seems to be a very common thing today, women so-called pastors, which is not scriptural, but I don't want to get off on that. That way of speaking is past. If any person says, God spoke directly to me, God told me this to tell you, if it doesn't come from this book, they are a liar. That includes me and anyone else. You see, now, the writer says, that way of speaking is past, but now God hath spoken, and he hath spoken unto us. Isn't that an amazing thing? Henry Mahan, God has spoken to us, sinners, wretched sinners. Spoken unto us, but note now it is absolutely, finally declared, it's all centralized. Look at it. One more time. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Consider the actual words there. Consider the actual word, hath spoken. Now, when I first began to look at this in some detail, I thought, well, but doesn't Christ still speak to his people today? Yes, he does still speak to his people today. But again, he only does it through this word. When any man stands forth and teaches and preaches, claiming to be sent from God, if he does not preach God's book, he is a false teacher. Now, consider these four things here about hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. First of all, last days demand the last word. You know, usually if someone is dying and has time to, has time to die. That's not what I really meant. When a person is dying and you know they're about ready to go, people usually gather around and what do they want to hear? Their last words. Well, that's what in these last days has spoken to us by his son. But note that it's word, not words. It's word singular, not words. Now compare that with what it said in chapter 2. And look at what it says. And hopefully I can tie this together here in a moment. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things, that's plural, that would be words, correct? Sort of, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But then look at the next phrase, and this is why the writer means it. For if the word, you see, not words, although certainly that's true, but the word, why? Because every set of words that a man uses must again be the word. This Bible is not full of truths. Did you know that? This Bible is not full of truths. This Bible is the truth. It all is a harmonious whole. It's not little bits and pieces of truth here and there. It is absolute truth. That struck me when I began to look at this again. Last days demand what? A last word. Now think about this. Here's number two. Christ's word is the final word. Christ's word is the final word. All of those prophets who spoke at sundry times and in divers manners, they were speaking about this one who was coming. All of it pointed to him. And when he came, he spoke the final word. He spoke the final word. You see, he did not just speak absolute truth. The prophets spoke absolute truth. He did not just speak absolute truth. He spoke absolute truth. But he spoke full absolute truth. The book even got the New Testament says we know how much? In part. God the Son knew it all. He's the one who gave the word to the prophets and then to the apostles. Here's number three. The clear implication is this. Now here it is. Unless Christ said it, it ain't so. I don't guess ain't is a word in that. Well, maybe it is now. I don't know. Things have changed so much since I went to school. Think about it. Unless Christ said it, don't let somebody come to you and say, well, Christ is telling me this now. No, he's told us everything we need to know right here. Now, we may come up with words that help define things, but it must be in line with this word or it's not so. That's what the writer is telling us. So the clear implication again is, unless Christ said it, it ain't so. So then you look back again to chapter 2. excuse me, back at chapter 2, and let's read it again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So you see, unless the word came from Christ, it ain't God's word. That's the whole point. Even all of these epistles and letters that were written were directly communicated by Jesus Christ to individuals to write down exactly what God the Son intended for us to hear. In all the words, he has declared his word. His word. So number 4. Holy Scripture. God Almighty's word. Holy Scripture is Christ's final, full, absolute word. And I hope no one misses it. Commentaries are great, but they are not inspired. God sent preachers today are good. They're God ordained, but they are not inspired. This word is. But that means this. If a man stands in a place like this, then it doesn't have to be standing. But if a man is proclaiming this word, that means Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Isn't that amazing? If a man is preaching this book, this word, then Jesus Christ is speaking to me. That's an awesome gift. And with it comes awesome responsibility. You know something? I'm going to give you something. I'll give you a word conundrum and you can figure it out later. Men talk about, well, is man responsible or not? I say, yes, man is responsible before God. But I'll tell you this, man is irresponsible before God. Now think about that for a while. Okay, let's move on. Here's the Apostle John sums it up far better than I ever could. Look at what John said or wrote in 1 John chapter 4. And I just want to give you one phrase, and maybe this, if God is pleased, it will help. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. And we'll just look at the first part of the verse, and I want to give it to you and not, I don't want to convolute it with my words. 1 John chapter 4 verse 6. Are you there? Look at what it says. We, so this is John writing, and to whoever else this message was intended, even if it's people today. Notice what it says. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth who? Us. You see it? Now look. Now we can say, well, isn't that great? That's nice. But we're not left with an open-ended idea here. Okay? Because look at what it says. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. You see that? You see, if you don't hear the word that has already been spoken, you are not hearing God. And you don't know God. That's how serious this matter is. So let's move on. Why is this so vital, though? Why is it so vital that God, who at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son? But why is it that important? Look at the next few words. Whom? Now he's talking about this person, is he not? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So far this has declared the absolute majesty of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. But then this majesty has a purpose that benefits somebody like me and somebody like you. Look at it. When he, that is this whom, that is this one who is what? Appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged this being, and I do not say that to be disrespectful, this being that's described here, cared enough to purge sinners of sins. Do you see that? When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I heard a man say it many years ago, and it may have been this man sitting right over here. He said, why did Christ sit down? He said, not because he was tired, but because he was done. He was done. Let me just move through these things real quickly. Give you five things. Remember, the Son is appointed heir. That means he owns, and thus he can dispose of everything according to his will. You see, when my earthly dad, my daddy as I call him, when he dies, if he left everything to me, if he did, and the courts ruled that this was right, it's proper, and they give everything to me, you know what that means? I can do with it what I want. Because now it's mine. That's what an heir is. It's mine. He appointed, God the Father appointed the Son, heir of all things. Secondly, this Son is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know who that God is? Jesus of Nazareth. That's mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Third, this Son is deity manifest in resplendent glory in human flesh. That's profound. This Son is absolute deity manifest in resplendent glory. That's what the writer said of him here. Number four is this. The Son is deity manifest in exact stamp of God as God is. You remember what our Lord told the disciples one time? He said, he that's seen me. What did he say? And you're looking at a flesh, bone, and blood man. That's what was taking place there. A flesh, bone, and blood man, just like this man here, standing before you this morning, with one exception. He had no sin. And he said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. And number five, the Son holds absolute rule. And I just want to read that one again. And upholding all things by the, what does it say? Word. I don't have, this is not going to be the best way to describe it. He doesn't even have to do anything with his hands. He just has to say it and think it in his mind. And that's not a good way. That doesn't totally explain it. If you come to me later and say, Pastor, that was a really faulty explanation, I will say, Amen. But I'm trying to. Jesus Christ is the absolute sovereign of everything. And he doesn't have to exert physical effort to do it. If he thinks it, it was done, is done, and shall forever be done. So then, when he spoke, that is, when Jesus Christ spoke, when he was here, he spoke the Word and at the same time was doing the work that the words spoke of. And then he relayed all of this to men who wrote it down. And by his sovereign providence, he has spared that word and preserved that word. And we can actually pick it up and read it in our English language. That ought to make us bow on our faces before God. Aren't you glad you don't have to learn Greek to be saved? Aren't you glad that he can save the illiterate? Because you don't have to be able to read it. You just have to have it spoken to you. Spoken to you. Amazing. Let me sum it up. The Son alone did this work. You see what it is? The Son alone. He don't need your help and my help. He don't need anybody else's help. This is the work here. When he had by himself purged our sins, then he sat down. Now listen. If my sins are purged, if your sins were purged, they were purged some odd 2,000 years ago. They are not being purged. There's nothing you can do to help God to purge them, because if they are purged, they were purged way back yonder. So the Son did the work alone. The Son's one work, which he spoke by his word, was to purge. And that means just to wash it off. It's gone. Again, another probably not best illustration, but my truck out here that I drove up here in with my wife is dirty. If I go out here and wash all that dirt off of it, and here it is brand spanking looking new and shiny, why? Because the dirt's not on it anymore. You see, when Christ purged our sins, he got rid of them. Now, I still see them. But he got rid of them. We could go into the Greek, you know, and look at the word purge, but you know what that means. It means to wash completely. The dirt's gone. The dirt's gone. The Son then did what? He rested. That's what he did. He rested. He sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Into my lessons, this: what else do I need? If I have this, what else do I really need? What else do I really need? What about you? What else do you really need? We often think, I've got to have this or that. No, I've got to have this. Because if I have everything else in this world and I don't have this, I got nothing. I got nothing. Now here's the question for me and for you. Do I believe the Son did this or not? I didn't. We're not, you see, those who preach the truth are not asking you to let God save you. We're saying the Son did the work. It's over and it's done. Do you believe it or not? It's that simple. But yet, by ourselves, it is absolutely impossible to do. Father, bless us as we continue. May this pot of clay, may I have been used to speak your word. And we know, God, you will honor your word. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's take a break. Thank you.
I wasn't supposed to have to turn anything on or anything, was I?